Guys, some parts of evolution have kind of fallen over. They've sort of let us down. I would have thought that by now, it would have our bodies and our evolution would have realised we can get rid of our body hair.
Oh, yes.
You know, we don't need these thick, heavy coats. We're no longer living in caves and going out and fighting a woolly mammoth.
No.
And we can probably just...
You're not?
And more's the pity, really.
Yeah. And so, you know, we spend a lot of time waxing and plucking and removing. And so I could really relate to this poor woman on TikTok who has put up a video of her deciding to do a home wax job on, I guess, her downstairs area.
Oh, I see.
Right.
And it didn't go to plan because the wax stuck together.
I put wax... and it stuck my lips together. I've got to rip that off now.
Ouch!
Okay, I did it that time, I think
there
it is.
Don't.
Look,
what are you doing?
We live in a world where someone has videoed themselves waxing and removing said wax.
Oh,
I get that. But the fact is we've all had a few failures at home when we've tried to do a beauty treatment or two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it can be anything. I remember shaving my legs once. I just thought it was an innocent, you know, just shave my legs in the shower as you do.
Yes.
And when I was shaking the razor to get like running water through it to get the hair out of it, I shook it and I sliced my nipple.
Oh, Kimber.
And let me tell you, that area bleeds and bleeds and bleeds. It doesn't stop. It wasn't actually that painful. It was one of those things that you don't really realize it's happened until the shower is running blood down your body like a psycho film.
Oh, you've got to be careful, dear.
You do.
You really do.
And, you know, plenty of dyeing your hair at home or things like that. And I'm sure there's plenty of blokes that have tried things at home as well because they might be unsure about going to a you know, beautician to get something done, or they might feel uncomfortable or embarrassed.
Well, I'm a male groomer.
Yes.
And I take my time.
Yeah.
I make sure that razor is nicely heated.
Mm-hmm.
I've lathered well.
Yeah.
And I make sure that I'm focused. Nothing else distracts me.
No, right.
You know,
and that's
it's
a smart way to do it.
It is, yes.
But I thought, let's have a laugh with one another. Just tell us how it went horribly wrong, because we've all been there and we understand, and you're among friends. Joe in Leeming, what have you done?
Oh, this anecdote is about my ex-boyfriend back when we were 21. I don't think he'd done any manscaping before, but he thought waxing his balls might be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was actually trying to impress me.
Uh-huh.
And make the area look maybe grander or something.
It doesn't work, does it, Joe?
It didn't work well.
It doesn't matter how you dress it up. It's never going to look that good.
But I was actually standing alongside him, just staring at it. Just, what the hell? How are you going to get yourself out of this mess?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of girl squeals came from that.
Right. Okay.
Waxing your balls.
Have you ever had a shot? I reckon every bloke's had a crack once, and it doesn't have to necessarily be waxed, but with the clippers or something. Oh.
I'd shave them, and that's much safer. But we saw what happened with the Australian cricket team in South Africa. You just leave them alone.
Nanette in Dianella, tell us about your home beauty failure.
Well, I'm a mature woman, and I'd go for my regular beautician trips to get the waxing done. And one day I thought to myself, you know, it's not rocket science. Surely you can do this yourself. So I get the little wax strips and decided I would do my eyebrows. And guess what? Perfect. Perfectly groomed. I thought, that's wonderful. You're going to save yourself a heap. Did it the second time and I waxed half my eyebrow off. And I literally hyperventilated going, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. I went straight down to the chemist to get a try. And I've got auburn hair, so matching the colour pencil for my eyebrow was not good. And I've got teenage daughters and all they could do was laugh at me. So I've never, ever done it again. That's it. Beautician, here I come.
I know. We always think we can just save a few extra bucks. It can be expensive getting these treatments done. That's what makes you decide to try it at home.
Turns out it is rocket science.
It is.
Yeah.
Mel in Claremont, good morning to you. Home beauty treatment failures, what's yours?
I've had a few. So I've definitely done the one that you mentioned, but I've also burnt my chest, my neck, with a hair straightener. And when I was 12, I ran out of witch hazel. I don't know if you know what that is. It's like a cleanser you put on. So I put Dettol without water sterilized on my face, and I wake up the next morning and I had burns all over my face.
Whoa.
I'm recovered now. I look fine. But yeah, definitely experimental.
Yeah, witch hazel was just like a nice little toner that you put on because, you know, everyone told us it would control acne and be good for our skin. But
yes.
Dettol, not the same.
You don't see a lot of hospital grade witch hazel. No.
Pat in Parkerville, what happened when the power went out?
Yeah, look, I was supposed to go in for an operation. So I'd booked in for a bikini wax and the power went out and all the shops closed. So there we were the night before I was going in.
I was going to say the power's gone out.
We lost Sorry. You. It was the night before you went in and...
And, yeah, so we were there in the dark. So my husband put on one of those headbands with a torch and I got a waxing kit and got on the kitchen table. and it didn't go well. And we got wax in all sorts of places we shouldn't have got wax. And let's just say it wasn't the best bikini wax I've ever had.
No. Just the image of your husband wearing one of those, like, surveyor lights.
Yeah.
It's for brilliant. Fishing. I mean, I wonder if surgeons know how much trouble we go to on before we go under the onto the table.
Yes. You want to look your best.
You get a shave anyway, don't you? Oh, mate, wow.
He's the 30th Premier of our state, enjoying rock star ratings and sex symbol status. He's even walking the streets of Perth as a tattoo on some poor bloke's leg. As we head to the polls on March 13, please welcome Premier Mark McGowan. I'm sexy and I know
it. Yes, good morning to you, Premier. Great to have you in the studio here with us.
Good morning. Great to see you. I still haven't seen this bloke with the tattoo.
Haven't you?
Yeah, no, I haven't caught up with him yet.
It's actually much better in person, like on his leg up close. It
You've
looks
had
better
a close look.
Yeah, oh, yes, we have.
He came in here.
Yeah. Looks good. He's got a nice thigh.
Yeah, it's better than the photo. It's a good one.
My understanding is that the offer for a haircut at Jack of All Fades in Scarborough, which is where these blokes got that tattoo done, Barbara, is still open. It's still open for
me.
You.
Yes,
for you.
Yeah. Oh, well, I have to go and do it. But I just find the whole concept of I'll go and have a haircut. While I'm here, I'll get a tattoo. A little bit odd. Don't you? Like, oh, yeah, while I'm here, I'll have a tattoo. And, you know, why don't I buy a car as well? I mean, what sort of shop does that?
Well, as an unemployed actor, I was often looking for ways to pass my day, you know, and that would fill up a good 6 hours, I would imagine.
Getting a tattoo would, yeah.
Well, look, Mark, the election coming up. Yesterday, I early voted, and I believe you have too.
I have.
Do you mind sharing who you voted for?
I voted for me.
Oh, God.
I did. I'm in my own electorate. I went and voted the day before yesterday with my wife, and I think she voted for me. But, I definitely voted for me.
Awkward conversation around the dinner table.
Well, it's a secret ballot, you know. We don't talk about it.
Now, Premier, some clarification on our overland borders in a hopefully post-COVID-19 time. How will they work?
Well, the same as now. After COVID's over, the same as now. But the one thing that has worked to stop drugs coming into the state, because we've had a huge reduction in drug usage and a big reduction in break and enters as a consequence, has been having a police presence at the border.
Right.
So it deters drug dealers or drug couriers bringing it across the border. And so that's what I was talking about. I was saying some of those measures have worked. They stopped COVID, but they also meant we had a 25% reduction in drug importation into the state.
Would that mean that, you know, you would prefer to have a system where random checks would happen on the border?
Something like that. Currently at the border, there's agriculture officers,
mm-hmm.
and they check for bananas.
Yes.
Or avocados. And as I said yesterday, you know, I think meth's more dangerous than bananas. I think it's far more dangerous. So having a police presence there... means that, you know, if there's a capacity to check for meth or heroin or cocaine, I just don't think that's unreasonable if a car is also being checked for bananas and avocados.
Is it bad for me to say that I wouldn't mind if someone was trying to bring cheap avocados in, though? Because,
like, lemons.
My God, they're like $5 each.
While we're at it, figs so would be
money,
good too.
The real money in smuggling is in avocados, yeah. Not in meth. Okay, that's what you're saying.
Did you get the backlash, though? It just sort of feels sort of un-Australian, I guess. I hate that term. I don't know why I just used it. But to think that you can't travel freely within our country without having authorities going through your suitcase.
I'm in an election campaign, so people misrepresent what
sure.
I say for political reasons. But what I was talking about was ensuring that when... border checks are conducted for fruit and vegetables, perhaps we should also look at meth, heroin and cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that's an unreasonable thing to do, particularly because over the last year, we've seen it's actually resulted in a huge reduction in drug usage in Western Australia and consequent huge reduction in home break-ins.
Mm.
I mean, you know, I'm not saying have checks on people everywhere around the state. I'm just saying at the border when trucks or cars are coming across, when you're checking for an avocado, you might also check for meth.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, I sort of default to the fact that if you've got nothing to hide, there's nothing wrong with the policeman going through your car, personally.
Mm-hmm. At the border, certainly.
At the border. $7 million from the New South Wales government is the bill slapped on the table, and you've shredded it. Can you explain this situation to us? What is it they're actually asking for?
Well, the New South Wales government is billing us $7 million because they claim that West Australians stayed in their hotels when they came back from mm-hmm. overseas. But what they fail to recognise is people from New South Wales and Queensland and Victoria stayed in our hotels at the same time. And that we, as a state, actually bring home the most people per capita of any of the states per capita. It's just silly to be sending these sort of petty bills between the states like New South Wales is. It's actually, if you want to talk un-Australian, I think it's actually un-Australian. We bring everyone home. We bring people home. You quarantine them. You make them better and make sure they're not sick. And then they go on their way back to wherever they're from. This idea that somehow I would bill New South Wales or Victoria for people that arrived here, I just think is really quite un-Australian. But New South Wales is doing it. So I think we did a Facebook. Is it a meme? Whatever it is. Facebook.
don't look at me.
Facebook image, which figuratively shredded the bill.
Right.
Nice.
Premier, we understand you're off to Albany today. Have a safe trip there. And yes, the election just around the corner. All the best to you, mate. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Pete, Matt and
Kimber. The city of Melville has weighed up a new cat strategy, which could lead to seeing cats on leads.
Okay.
Can we call it a strategy?
Sure.
Thanks.
Can you explain that to me, please?
Because it's got the word cat in it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Strategy could, yes. Okay, move on.
You know
move
what? You get a ding for that, Kimber. Well done.
Not if I had to explain it, I don't.
Well, of course, we know cats are very destructive animals,
yes.
Right? And you're not really meant to have them out at night anyway.
No, you're supposed to keep them in your home.
Yeah. But even during the day, they can cause havoc.
That's right. Well, Councillor Karen Wheatland is the driving force behind the idea, and she says that cat owners would be bound by similar rules to those governing dogs, and they would only be allowed outside their owner's property if restrained on a lead, and owners would have to ensure their homes were secure enough to contain the animals. This item was actually carried unanimously, but there will also be a requirement that staff must conduct at least 6 weeks of extensive community engagement before drafting the strategy, just in case you're somebody in Melville right now going, oh, I'm not sure I want to be walking my cat on a lead.
Well, it ain't easy, is it?
But you can do it now, though, right? Is there anything stopping you from going out walking a cat on a lead? Why do we need
to have a campaign about it? Yes, there is something stopping you, the cat, because they don't like it.
You also get a ding, Matt.
Look, I didn't know about this, so I went to Google, because that's where you get all your reputable information,
yes.
And I said, can cats walk on leads?
Mm.
It says, as it turns out, walking a cat on a leash isn't some senseless gimmick. Many felines find great pleasure in time spent outside, enjoying the sounds of birds chirping and the scent of freshly cut grass, just like humans do.
Oh.
How do they know that? They've been surveying them.
I've asked a few.
Now, I don't know about you guys, but I guess it's because I've only ever associated leads with dogs and occasionally very small children.
Mm-hmm.
That's
always a bit weird, isn't it?
Seeing a cat on a lead kind of seems weird and unusual to me. Neans, what have you seen walked on a lead in Mandurah?
I saw a ferret being walked on a lead in Mandurah.
Cute.
Okay. Yes.
Right. Now, did that seem unusual to you?
Highly unusual. I did have a chuckle.
Yeah, I mean, because I would have thought ferrets can just sort of hang out on your jumper, like hang out on your chest or something, carrying them around.
It seems like a Fremantle thing to me.
Yeah, well, it does. But, you know, if you've got an indoor cat, I can understand them wanting to get out and about.
Mm-hmm.
This is a safe way of doing it. It makes sense to put them on a leash.
When it was in my first year of NIDA in Sydney, 1990, when we first got to Sydney, and I was a Perth boy from Beckenham, and we rocked up and we were told to go as part of our orientation into living in Sydney, we were advised to go to the Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras, as it was called then.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we went and had a fantastic night. And I saw one of my acting teachers walk past me in the parade wearing arseless chaps, leather chaps, and with a lead with his boyfriend with it round his neck. So
a little bit of this, maybe.
Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
That was a bit strange.
Okay. Well.
But all power to them. You know.
Well, it's weird because it's like they've gone, go along, guys. It'll be an education. You weren't expecting that kind of education.
No, not my teacher.
Yeah.
Kira in Bull Creek, tell us about what you've seen walked on a lead and where.
It was a lady walking, because I'm in Melville Shire, so we've got a park across the road from us, and she was walking her pig.
A pig.
It got a pig. It was quite small, and then it kind of got bigger and bigger, and then it kind of disappeared.
Oh.
Oh.
And then, well, you saw her walking her bacon. Oh, wow. Monica in Kelmscott, good morning to you. You currently walk your cat.
I do indeed.
How does that go, Mon?
It goes very easily, actually. It goes, he knows that if he wants to go outside, he's got to go on his lead. So he waits very patiently outside the back door, waiting for one of the kids to put on his lead to go for his walk.
How do you go passing dogs on leads?
It depends upon what sort of dog it is. He's got quite a few dogs on the street who they're actually quite friendly with. And they just look at each other, and one dog, you know, is his best friend, and they just have a play together, so it's no problems. But again, we've got one or two dogs who he just stays clear of.
Yeah, okay.
Fantastic.
All right, nice. Cool. Alison in Baldivis, what have you seen walking on a lead?
My sister-in-law used to walk her guinea pig.
Oh, cool.
That's so cute.
Although I'm pretty sure I once saw Pete being walked on a lead in Seville Grove, but, yeah, we don't talk about that.
Yeah, no, that was occasionally my wife would let me out of the house, Alison, and that was the only reason why.
That was pre the first child.
Yeah. How far do you reckon a guinea pig could go before it had tired legs?
Yeah, I don't know.
Not far. You're not getting a guinea pig that far, are
no.
you?
No. Anyway, Amy's in Baldivis. Good morning, Amy. What weird thing have you seen walked on a lead?
We saw two meerkats in Japan being walked on leads.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Were they
it was amazing.
Were they upright or were they on all fours?
No, they were on all fours until we stopped and then they went upright. Oh,
that's so good.
You know, if you can have...
and they were dressed up as witches.
Oh, wow, for Halloween. Unreal.
If you could have any pet that's not your standard domestic pet, I'd love a meerkat.
Mm.
I'd love one.
Jess in Morley, talk us through it. What have you seen walked on a lead?
I actually saw a couple walking a duck on a lead around a lake. So
that's the best.
I had to like look back about six times to make sure I wasn't crazy.
And are we talking like a kind of like a nice sort of big white duck, or are we talking like those sort of pond-looking ducks?
Yeah, just one from the pond, and it was like a round tomato lake, so it was like, what, did you take it from the lake? I just didn't know.
Okay, Belmont, that's nothing unusual, to be honest with you, that way. Yeah.
Sort of that Posidon sauce colour.
last one here, Julian in Coogee. Your nana used to walk a weird pet.
Yeah, my nana used to walk a turtle down at the beach.
Wow.
Yeah, she made up a tiny little harness for it and everything, so that way she could put it in a harness and take it down to the beach and take it for a walk through the water and everything. And she put the leash on it to stop it from taking off.
Oh, when you say taking off, Julian, I can't imagine it's too hard to chase down a turtle.
Yeah, no, I couldn't imagine either, but, you know, because she used to walk through the edge of the water and everything. It was only a little thing, and she had it for about 3 years. She loved all her sea creatures. She had pet crayfish and eels and everything. So.
Why am I having flashbacks of Homer Simpson putting his lobster in the bar?
That's right.
She's the West Aussie metal chick the whole country has fallen in love with. But is she about to break our hearts? Has she left Brett for Jake? Please welcome, from Married at First Sight, Booker Niles.
Good morning to you, Booker. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very amused after hearing that introduction. How are you going?
We're good, Booker. Look, from the outset, you and Brett look like a beautiful couple. And, you know, Brett was asked to be honest about your qualities that he maybe disliked about you. And he was honest. He said, I could only come up with two things because I like everything else about you. Is it surprising to you how well you already kicked off together?
I did not know what to expect. But, yeah, we just meshed from day dot. somehow, like, yeah, we just got along so well from the moment that we started chatting. Even just at the altar, we were cracking jokes and stuff. So, yeah, I've got very, very lucky there.
Well, Booker, from one artist, I guess, inverted commas, to another, it's great to have a tradesperson in your life. And he is a Sparky, so stick with him.
Yeah, every time I need anything, you know, like electrical fixed, I can just... Yeah, exactly.
Now, Booker, for a show that sort of claims to be trying to find love for people, the show does seem to pull out all stops to drive wedges between you. And I'm talking about that, you know, ranking of the other opposite sex, you know, with the photos and whatnot. How comfortable were you with that?
I felt pretty comfortable with it. I think, I felt like we were... Brett and I are not jealous people, and I think that, you know, yeah, even at the early stages, felt very secure with one another. So, you know, like, we actually sort of did, like, it wasn't aired in the end, but, you know, we did the guys together. We sort of chose them together. We put Jake sort of number one, but then obviously Brett went above him. And then, you know, sort of went down from there. And then Brett actually just sort of, like, put all the girls into this giant, weird, muddled ball. And then he just sort of put me at the top of this weird ball because he was like, I'm not doing this. So, yeah, like, we felt fine about doing that whole thing. And, that, you know, we'd already spoken so much and done so much opening up to one another that we didn't really have too much left over to really find out at this stage, even though it had only been a week. So. Yeah.
Booker, have you guys had a bit of a head start? Because you knew each other pre the show, didn't you? And when I say knew each other, was it like you've known each other for quite some time, or was it sort of in passing?
Who? Me and Brett?
No, I think it's Jake. That
well,
you knew
I've that. Got the wrong information here, guys. My apologies.
That's all right, Booker. Pete's got two young children. He only gets to see tiny bits of television shows.
Sorry about that, mate. Don't mind me. We'll move on.
I was like, I knew Brett before. Well, this explains so much now, doesn't it? No. So wait, what's the question now?
Well, the question now is, how are you going, Booker? It's,
No, but the media has shown pictures of you out and about with Jake, and I guess that's created a bit of scuttlebutt about your past, right?
Yeah, it's so funny. You watch, like, seeing it all. It's just Jake and I hanging out, really.
Well, and I suppose, you know, you're at a point where you're sworn to secrecy, so you can't say much. But, Booker, how do you find the cocktail parties? Some people seem to relish in the idea of let's go there and watch all the other couples fall apart because it makes us feel better about ourselves. But is it actually really awkward?
I don't like watching anybody in distress. Mm. So, you know, if I'm going to a dinner party and there's this awful stuff going down, I mean, if it's funny drama, that's fine. Or, you know, if someone sort of gets a serving and they've really deserve it or something, then yeah, sure, I can get behind that. But, you know, if it's kind of just like upsetting and sad, you know, especially if you've formed a connection with the person who's, you know, in the center of the drama and they're really not enjoying themselves, I find it hard to be around because you just want to sort of, you know, take them away into a safe space where there's no drama and stuff. So you just, yeah, it so depends, I think. But definitely, it's something. It's an experience, that's for sure.
But, I mean, everyone's been to a dinner party. You can tell when your friends have had a fight in the car, can't you?
Yes.
Like when they get out and they're all pretending to be fine and you're like, you've had a fight in the car. This feels awful. It's such rubbish when you're having a dinner party like that. Yeah. I don't envy you.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, obviously the earlier on the dinner party is, that, you know, the less we're sort of able to pick up on, I think, as far as, you know, who's doing well, who's not doing well, et cetera, until something sort of happens. But and you get to know people better as well, you know, you start to really pick up on those cues that sort of suggest that maybe there's something up or, yeah. And
do
then,
you mean like Coco wearing the train hat like Davina did when she was cheating in the previous
season? You know what, though? I wore the train hat in the last night also.
Oh, Booker. Oh, no. You've broken our heart.
Get rid of the train hat. It means you're
that
a cheater.
That train hat is like my signature. Like, if you look on my Instagram, it's just bloody everywhere. It's my I'm having a bad hair day hat.
Okay.
Booker.
Yeah, they're slightly different, but they're pretty train hatty.
Coco's going to use the same excuse.
Yeah.
Thanks for chatting to us, mate. Married at First Sight continues tonight, 7:30 on 9. We'll catch up again soon.
Awesome, guys. Thanks so much. Matt and Kimber.
They're some of WA's favourite sons who've racked up 11 ARIA Awards from 35 nominations over 24 years. And they're back out on the road next year to celebrate their two most successful albums, A Song is a City and Black Fingernails Red Wine. From Eskimo Joe, please welcome Cav Templey and Stu McLeod.
Oh. Yeah, and the new track as well, 99 Ways, it's available now. Good morning to you, lads. Great to have you on the show.
Good morning. What an intro.
Yeah, it seems like we just get more ARIA Awards with each introduction.
I've got three that sit on top of my piano. How many have you got?
Have you split them up?
I've got four at my house.
Right. Joel's got them all.
Oh. What is that, 11? So there's four somewhere.
Well, we all get one each, apparently, when we win. except I've nowhere the rest of them are gone.
So technically you guys have actually run 33 ARIA Awards out of 35 times you've been nominated.
Well, 33 ARIA Awards. No, I think we've possibly...
We've won every award.
Ever.
Ever.
Right. That's amazing.
It's Brownlow. Just,
it's a conspiracy theory to bring us down.
It's not about the awards. You guys have just, you've been around for so long and you just keep producing fantastic music. And I must say, you know, not only is the song great, but we've just watched the film clip.
Oh, cool.
And well, the film clip is cool. It's text messaging. It's messages on the phone with the lyrics of the song. But I noticed too that you search through the photo gallery, and I think it's pretty brave to give anyone access to your photo gallery. I didn't know what we were going to learn about you, Cav.
I thought about this because we had an original idea for the film clip and it just didn't work out because the director couldn't come over from Melbourne. Lockdown was happening and all the rest of it. And then I think Joel came up with this idea to do this text message style video clip, which ended up being a really good idea because it really represents exactly what the song's about, which is about being in lockdown and that being your universe of just being able to communicate like that. But then it very quickly spiraled to me having to give over all of my personal photos of me and my wife. And then that was going to be the video clip. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I thought about it and I felt a little bit self-conscious. And then I was like, hold on. I'm pretty sure pretty much all of these photos are on Instagram already. And I'm pretty sure that means Instagram owns it. So we may be getting sued by Instagram very soon for using their photos. You know?
Nice. This could be our own men at work moment.
Yeah, it could
be.
Oh,
God, no. Greg, we're sorry. How does it happen? I love the song and we love Say Something as well. Fantastic stuff.
We really appreciate the support.
Oh, our pleasure. How does it work these days releasing a single? Is it different? Do you go on sort of tours and get dined and wined?
Well, that sounds lovely, but I think because we're independent pretty much, we have to wine and dine ourselves.
Yeah, but
which
we still
don't
enjoy
have a problem
it.
With. Yeah, we do. Yeah.
At the end of the day, we ended up paying for all of the record company dinners anyway. We just didn't realise it at the time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we're like, this is great. They just keep taking us out.
Enjoy
like,
yourselves.
How much do we owe them? It's a different world for most musicians at the moment. No one can tour. We have announced a tour, but it's not until 2022 because I think we feel like it's still going to be a bit of a yo-yo year. We are able to get into the studio and record music and put it out, and that feels pretty amazing because we haven't actually put out any new music apart from Say Something since 2013.
Yeah.
So, you know, the necessity of actually being able to do what we do means that the only thing we can do is actually get creative and record some new music. And that's actually been absolutely awesome. I know everyone had a pretty shitty 2020, but, you know, for us creatively, we actually got to release some new music and that's been really special. And the support we've got from everyone, from fans and you guys, has encouraged us to record another song. So at this point in time where our trajectory is one song a year, which means that I think in about 12 years we'll have an album which will also double as the best of, which
is great. Amazing. Looking forward to that coming out. And you did mention the tour. Tickets on sale available now from OzTix. It's Saturday the 5th of March next year, the Fremantle Arts Centre on the South Lawn. I love reading out loud that you guys are going to be at the Fremantle Arts Centre on the South Lawn, because that to me says sunset in Fremantle, shoes off, intimate gig, really just having an opportunity to get up and close and personal and just a special gig, right?
Definitely. I mean, just the smell of the salty air and 1,500 bare feet, it's just going to be magical.
Although it's that far away, who knows what climate change will have done by then.
True. You know, Fremantle Arts Centre is famously haunted. And we did some really big shows there around about
their Inshallah tour. Mm. And on the very first night, we were talking about the ghosts and, you know, oh, apparently it's haunted, and we were all laughing. And then, you know, on stage, like, it was weird. Like, things became unplugged and all kinds of strange things happened. We have, like, you know, ninjas on stage making sure everything, you know, goes according to plan. But no matter what they did, things went wrong. And so we were like, maybe there's something in this ghost thing. So we literally all stood in a circle with our arms around each other, and we did this, like, we just want to say thank you to the ghost for letting us play here, and please don't unplug our stuff again. Basically. And we did it. Nothing got unplugged on the second night. Oh, so,
yeah. Well, the new track is 99 Ways. It is an absolute belter, guys. It really is. We love it. It's available now, and enjoy it, because apparently you're not getting another one till next year. So
that's right.
Cav Templey, Stu McLeod, great to have you on the show, the Eskies, and we'll catch up with you both again soon.
Thank you so much for having us, guys.
Pleasure.